From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Noah Adams, sitting in this week while Melissa Block and Robert Siegel report from China. And in southwestern China, police, volunteers, and families are bracing for a grim transition from rescue to recovery. Thousands of people remain missing or trapped after Monday's 7.9 magnitude earthquake.
The number of dead is now estimated at nearly 15,000, but police and the military have yet to reach some of the hardest-hit cities, and the number of dead is expected to soar when they do. The city of Dujiangyang is roughly 20 miles from the epicenter, and it was devastated by the quake. One young couple there allowed Melissa Block to join them during their desperate effort to rescue loved ones.
More than 600,000 people lived in the city of Dujiangyan before the earthquake. Now, there is no telling how many are dead. Much of the city lies in ruins. Hospitals, schools, apartment buildings were flattened by the force of the earthquake. We end up driving through the city behind a rumbling excavator, and we find two people, a woman and a man, stumbling alongside it. They're clinging to the machine's lowered boom as if they could pull it by sheer human force to speed it through traffic. Please let us pass, they're crying. We have the excavator so we can save people. Our parents and our child are buried. Fu Guanyu and Wang Wei hop back in their tiny Suzuki, which they've abandoned in traffic. They lead the excavator on its way, and I climb in with them. She is 26, he's 34. It's Mr. Wang's parents who are buried, along with the young couple's son, Wang Jilu. He's 2 months shy of his second birthday.
He's a lovely boy, and about 10 minutes before the happening of earthquake, he's calling me, Mom, please stay with me, don't go.
This past Monday afternoon, Mrs. Fu dropped her son off with his grandparents so she could go to her job at a department store. Then, just minutes later, the earthquake hit. She rushed back home and saw their apartment building in ruins. She says soldiers came right away to help, but they had no equipment. Now, finally, the heavy machinery is on the way.
It's been 2 days now, and you haven't been able to get any machinery to your house.
I still don't want to give up. I firmly believe he's still alive.
Finally, we pull up at the end of the alley that leads to the family's apartment building.
You're worried about this building over here? You're worried about this building falling down? There goes the excavator. You're worried that the shaking will harm this building, and this building here, this 10-story building, could collapse as the excavator goes by. We'll be careful. We're running down the alley to get by the building in case there's any fear of collapse. This 10-story building that's still standing. Headed down toward Ms. Fu and Mr. Wang's apartment building behind the excavator.
But there's still one more delay. There's a covered concrete gateway that's too low for the equipment to drive through. The claw of the excavator starts smashing the gate to bits.
Okay, the top of the gate is almost completely down. The whole 15-foot structure of cement and wire. Whoa! And down it comes in a huge crash. But this gate is down once they clear the debris away. Then the bulldozers can come in and the cranes to start picking through what's left of this family's building and try to find their child and the grandparents.
The family rushes toward the 6-story collapsed building at one end of a courtyard filled with trees.
Cement and bricks and rubble. It's a pile about 3 stories high, what's left of this building. All around it, there are buildings that are perfectly fine. That building is not at all fine. That building is gone.
We lived on the 4th floor, Mrs. Fu says. That's our furniture up there.
Mrs. Fu just called out her son's name, Huang, and said, Mom is coming for you. As this excavator works its way through this pile of debris that is just devastating to look at.
When the excavator has cleared a path, Mrs. Fu and Mr. Wang run up to the debris pile.
Mrs. Fu is climbing up through sharp pieces of metal. She's calling out her son's name, Wang. She's peering through the bricks. Oh, the dad is now crawling deep under the masonry, and that's not safe. Mrs. Fu doubled over, shaking her fists, doubled over in terror, begging him to come out so that he wouldn't get hurt or crushed by these piles of debris.
The young couple climbs back down. There's so much heavy wreckage, it's useless. Work crews are brought in with torches to cut through rebar. The excavator starts back to work, and a bulldozer, and a crane. And after a long while, the workers stop. They have found some bodies.
Okay, we're standing on the edge of the rubble pile now, where they've clawed a big hole into this debris. There are flies buzzing around. People who were digging in here with the machinery came running out with their hands over their mouths. They have found a body. And I can see the hand now. In the rubble, there's a ring on the right finger. And there is no, there are no air pockets in this pile of rubble. This is just a mass of debris, and anyone in there has been crushed.
From the description of the ring, the Wang family can tell this is not their relative, it's a neighbor. There's some relief, but also now even deeper fear that this day will not end well. We are 50 feet away from the rubble pile, and now the smell of death is unmistakable.
These women have just brought Mrs. Fu a white sheet. They told her, "We hope they're still alive, but in case they're not, you can use this to cover their faces." It's a local tradition that others shouldn't see the faces of the dead, and now these women are tearing the sheet into three pieces for Mrs. Fu's family if they're found dead.
Mrs. Fu is trembling, and a friend wraps her in a tight embrace. "Don't cry, don't cry," the friend reassures her. "Maybe they didn't die."
Mrs. Fu is just limp with grief in her neighbor's arms. They want her to sit down and try to relax. She wants to stand right here and watch.
With the discovery of the bodies, about 30 members of the military police are brought in to dig by hand through the rubble. But these soldiers seem to have come with no equipment. Mrs. Fu and Mr. Wang rush out to buy supplies for them. They come back with packs of cotton gloves and face masks. Neighbors scramble to find shovels, and the soldiers head toward the pile.
Mrs. Fu started out this day saying she had great hope that her son was still alive. But with the discovery of these bodies now, and the army here to pick through the rubble, the shrouds that are being brought in, you can tell that hope is just draining from her. She is limp, and her face is completely blank.
Hours crawl by. There is no news. Mrs. Fu and Mr. Wang fall into each other's arms.
It's now noon. We've been here for several hours. And Mrs. Fu has lost hope of finding her family, it seems. She's saying, "My son, I should have taken you to work with me. You were asking me to take you to work." Her husband is telling her, "There's nothing we can do about it now. I need you to stay strong. I can't lose you anymore." She has just collapsed in grief in her husband's arms as they both weep for what they've lost.
Then the police walkie-talkie crackles with a glimmer of hope.
They're trying to bring in sniffer dogs. They're trying to find sniffer dogs to bring in to see if there might be people still alive.
But soon enough, that hope is dashed too.
So some soldiers have just come in and have reported that they could not find any sniffer dogs.
At 4:40 in the afternoon, 9 hours after this day of waiting began, a worker comes out with news.
A worker just came out and said they had found the bodies of a child and two old people. And Mrs. Fu asked, "Was he a boy of about two?" And the worker nodded yes.
So they now know that their family has been found and they're all dead. Mrs. Fu just cried out her son's name and she said, "Mama is here." The mother just called out to the worker, asking whether he had called out to the child, that maybe he had just fainted. The family was told later that their baby was found in his grandfather's arms, with the grandmother close behind, holding onto her husband's back. There have been so many deaths here in Dujiangyan that the crematories are full. People are being asked to take the bodies of their loved ones out to the countryside for burial. But Fu Guanyu and Wang Wei managed to get a local crematorium to come collect the bodies. They're driven away in a white van. Later, the family will burn paper money to usher the dead into the afterlife. They'll light incense and set off firecrackers to ward off evil spirits. Down the street, another family has begun the same ritual, this scene repeating itself countless times here in Dujiangyan, throughout Sichuan province, and beyond. I'm Melissa Block in Dujiangyan.